my name's Adrian Stevenson. I'm a technical innovations coordinator at MIMAS, which is a data centre and innovation centre based at the University of Manchester. In terms of technology, recent technology that interests me, I guess I've done a lot of work in the linked data field, which has been very popular in the last sort of number of years, really. Been working on a number of projects outputting linked data in the sort of museums, libraries and archives, particularly libraries and archives data area, really. And it's an interesting space. It seems to be potentially offering some benefits. Just looking at your questions here, why do I consider it to be important? I think really linked data is part of the way of part of the whole thing about getting data out of its silos. You know, data's often been sort of trapped in websites and databases, and although there's a lot of challenges in the linked data area, it's potentially a way of getting stuff out on the web and using essentially the web as a database of sorts, a large database. It also goes quite hand in hand with the open data movement, and people often talk about linked open data very much the same sort of as being the same thing, which they're not actually, but they do walk hand in hand. And if you've got your data out there in RDF, linked data form, it's it makes sense for it to be open. You tend to get the benefits of it by doing it that way. Promising developments in this area, I think. Well, there's JISC funding a lot of really good stuff in this area. I mean, I've worked on a project called Loca, which has been producing linked data, and at the moment we're working on a project called Linking Lives, which is essentially taking our archival linked data and trying to mesh it up with other linked data sources that are out there. Very typically, this is often Wikipedia, which remains very much a hub in the linked data space, but we're really trying to link it up with anything else we can find, from other JISC funded projects. The benefits really are by really combining data sets in interesting ways. It helps mutually to enhance those data sets. So instead of archival data being just about archives, if, say, for example, we can link to the BBC, then we can potentially link to a movie on, if there's an archive about Bertrand Russell, we can show a bit of an interview by him, as well as pointing to, the archive holdings around the country. So generally, by bringing these things together, enhances their individual value and gets more out of the data, really. In terms of waving a magic wand, the obstacles in this space. Well, yeah, it's still challenging. I mean, people talk about being hard to do. Just sort of beg the question of what is hard, but it still feels like it's quite slow moving. There aren't that many tools. You tend to have to be hand-coding things quite a lot of the time. And when you are bringing data sets together, often, we've been, Linking Lives is very much about, is based around people's names. So if we've got stuff on Bertrand Russell or Beatrice Webb, we want to link to stuff that DBpedia have got or another service. We're often dealing with the incompatible ways in which names are used, because names are very messy. So matching up data is often quite tricky, actually. Licensing of data is another sort of very typical issue, I suppose. And this is where the whole open data movement is really trying to sort of move things forward, really. So the more open the data is, the better, really. There's certainly still obstacles. But, it seems to be, albeit maybe it feels like it's quite slow, there's definitely a move the move is still very much in the right direction. We've seen recently the Library of Congress is looking at linked data solutions potentially to replace markers as the way to go with bibliographic data. So, it does look like it may stay the course.
Okay. Could you say something briefly about the First World War project?
Yes. The First World War project is a bit more about open data and about the whole ethic of trying to promote that. Basically, we just started this project, so we're very much working out how we're how we're going to do things, really. But the idea is that we'll be looking at what open APIs are available that have open data about the World War One. And at the moment, we're in the phase of really looking at what's out there ourselves. We're also working with some people at King's College, and in fact, the phase one of the project is what's been called content prioritization, and that's really about trying to find out what's out there. From our perspective, Maya and I are working on phase two, and that's about specifically focusing on open data APIs. So it's going to be interesting to see what we find. You know, what data, what stuff we can find really that relates to World One. We might be surprised. There might be more than we expect, but that could be quite a challenge. But that's the idea. And then create a sort of a meta API. Well, I'm trying to use trying to avoid the word meta API, but basically trying to build an aggregation layer on top of what we find. So the World War One. It's called the World War One Aggregation Exemplar Project. So it's a bit of a mouthful, but it's part of the GIST-funded Discovery Initiative, and that's very much about open data and aggregating open data. So we'll be, we're attempting to build a layer over the top that brings data together about World War One. And the last sort of stage of the project will be to build a couple of interfaces, and we're going to be working with some external suppliers to build those interfaces. So yeah, it's a very interesting project. The timescales on it are very tight. We're intending to have everything done by the end of July of this year. So that's going to there are certain risks there, you might say, but yeah, it looks to be a really interesting area. You know, there's a lot of interest in the whole World War One space now, and I'm quite excited to be part of that. Yeah.